name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Proctus sanctum cum ciblau. Christ is risen.
Truly is
risen. Christos vescrese. So this is the third already, the third Sunday of Pascha. And we're still speaking basically about the events of the resurrection and the immediate aftermath. This is the day of the resurrection, that the myrrh-bearing women went to anoint a man who wasn't there. They thought he was there. They thought he was laying there dead. They thought the one they loved more than anyone or anything was dead. But they went there because of love. Ignorance, because they were wrong. He wasn't dead. But they didn't know that. They couldn't comprehend that someone who had been treated so shamefully, who had been beaten and scourged and hung naked on a cross and died so quickly on this cross, they couldn't comprehend that he would actually be alive. But of course he was. Now why did he put them through this incredible turmoil? If you read the gospel accounts, you can see all this turmoil at the time of the Lord's passion and even after his resurrection. You see how Thomas said, I won't believe unless I put my fingers literally into his side and I put my I thrust my hand into his side and I touch the holes in his hands, the prints of the nails. The myrrh-bearing women were going weeping, no doubt, to anoint their great love who was dead in their minds. A sword pierced through the Theotokos' heart when her son was on the cross. Peter, who loved Jesus with an incredible burning zeal, he had denied the Lord and then was watching him die on the cross. And then even after the resurrection, he had trouble believing that he would be received. That's why the Lord received him in a special way that third time that was recounted by John's words, where he came at the seashore and Peter swam to him and then he had that dialogue with Peter. You can find other examples. People went through great pain and then they felt great joy. Now, if you don't go through pain, if as a Christian you don't feel pain about the world and about yourself and about those you love and their inadequacies and their problems, then you cannot feel joy. The world thinks you can only pursue joy, that this is what art we do, is pursue joy, pursue happiness. That is a fool's errand. Pursuing joy and happiness is a fool's errand. Pursuing obedience to God and righteousness in our heart, that will bring joy. And that's what we see here. These myrrh-bearing women who had lost everything. And yet, even though they'd lost the one they loved, perhaps a weaker person would have thought that they were betrayed by the one they loved, because his promises might have appeared to be hollow and empty. But their love did not allow them to think like that. Instead, they thought, I have to do this one last thing for him. Since his body could not be anointed, since he was buried so close to the beginning of the Sabbath, there was not enough time to work on his body, since that was forbidden by the law to do any work from the Sabbath onwards until the end of the Sabbath. We will anoint his body with these fragrant myrrhs and aloes as an act of love. And of course, the myrrh and the aloe, they represent our offering to God of something sweet smelling and also something incorruptible. That is our hearts, our purified hearts. So they went to offer to God what they had. It wasn't adequate. It wasn't even appropriate. But it was from their heart. And so the Lord received it from their heart. And he gave them great joy. Now, even after he saw them, immediately they were still afraid. They still hadn't been able to process exactly what was happening. But by the end of that day, can you imagine the joy? Joy like they'd never felt before in their life. He was back. He was alive. All that they had hoped for was still true, but they went through pain in order to get to be able to really understand the joy. So today we're able to gather together in a limited means with all kinds of preparations and everything, but we are able to gather together. And so we should feel great joy that we can, in fact, serve the liturgy, serve the vigil, and we're present. I have great joy that when I sense the church, I see people in it rather than just standing by the chanter stand. But we went through a hard time before we got here. I fear that for some people, they will regret that they did not use that hard time effectively. So their joy might be blunted a little bit. They might not feel the joy that they should. And perhaps they'll realize this and they'll say, well, I don't understand. Is that all there is? I thought I'd be happier. Or perhaps they won't even be aware of what they've lost. We as Christians must have a heart for the world, for the people in it, for the sufferings of the people in it, for the seriousness of this pandemic. And we must pray very much about the people involved in this pandemic. Our bishop, Archbishop Peter, has given us a petition that we should say for the medical workers. You know, there was a medical worker that committed suicide. I'm sure there's been more than one, but there's one that was sort of flashed around the news very much because she was the head of the ER department in a Presbyterian hospital in Manhattan. She was working hideous, horrible hours. She contracted COVID-19, and she came back after like 12 days, excuse me. She wasn't quite herself. She was not strong enough to work 18-hour days. And I've worked in an ICU before, I'll tell you. When things are hectic, there is no rest whatsoever. You have 15 things being asked of you at once, and all of them are important. And especially an emergency room doctor, the pressures that were put on her, she just couldn't handle the strain. And so she went for a little R&R to her parents and then later to her sister's house. And her sister, I believe, said something that she just didn't seem like she was thinking right. She was so exhausted, so overcome, that she committed suicide. I've added her to Daniel's list. That's my contribution. I don't know what was in her head at the time or her heart. I don't really care. It doesn't affect whether or not I should pray for her and feel her pain. You must feel her pain, feel the pain of her family, that for some inexplicable reason, this person who showed none of these tendencies was a very strong, compassionate human being and became broken. I guess one could say that she's a casualty of COVID-19. There are hundreds like her, not as famous, maybe not working as ER doctors. There are thousands like her, actually. There's much pain and much suffering in the world, and there'll be more. Because, of course, this kind of crisis is going to be taken advantage of by those who wish to take advantage. And we already see some signs of it. In some countries, it's very terrible. You wouldn't want to be in Kenya right now and be hungry because it's very terrible. The police are very barbaric. They'll pretty much bash you in the head if you're where they say you shouldn't be. What are our police going to do? They're going to say, sir, would you please go home now? All right? If we had a service right now and we had 100 people in it, perhaps, the police would knock on our door and say, Pastor, they'd call me Pastor, wouldn't they, right? And they'd say, would you please disperse these people? That would be about it. In Kenya, they'd just start clubbing people. So we have to have a sense of what's going on in the world so that we can feel this joy. Now, I suppose I'm only barely obeying my bishop here because he told us in a letter that we should preach today, especially about Thanksgiving, for what has transpired, that now we can open the churches. And soon now they'll be fully open, and we should rejoice about that. But we should also pray for the medical personnel, pray for our bishops, The burden on Archbishop Peter is very heavy, very heavy. There are all kinds of people that are second-guessing him. I see things where, not against him, because basically his clergy love him very much and respect him very much, so I don't think he's going to get a whole lot of blowback from his clergy. But I've seen things where priests are saying things like, if you follow any of the dictates of the government, that's giving into government repression and its lack of belief, that people literally went before the lions in Rome, and here we are like sheep. Well, those people are stupid. They don't understand obedience, prayer, quietness. I'll tell you, when there's persecution, you'll know. You'll definitely know. And could it be coming? Oh, yeah. We see signs of it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, in Nazi Germany, they were aware of things that were happening well before the great persecutions, right? I mean, there was troubles right after World War I, and there was fomenting. It took a while, but those with eyes to see and ears to hear, they saw and heard that troubles were coming. And yeah, we can see troubles in our society and in the world at large. What are you going to do? What you're going to do today is celebrate the liturgy, try to be in the presence of God and rejoice. And then with the grace that God has given you, carry that grace out to the world and continue to pray, or start to pray, for those that are suffering because of this epidemic, this pandemic. And pray for the medical workers, pray for those in authority, even the ones you disagree with. You know, there's a lot of them that we disagree with. But they're secular people. How can they understand spiritual things? So we have to have a sense of the world and pray for the world. Then we can feel the joy. Just imagine again the joy of these myrrh-bearing women. They see the angel announces it to them. They're still afraid, but later on, what joy. And they felt that great joy because they put in the work. They put in the work. You must put in the work. So we're still under some restrictions, and we still should pray very much. And the habit, I hope that you're building up more prayer now, you'll continue. Don't stop once the quarantine is over. That's not the time to go to Disney World. That's the time to actually pray increasingly. That's the beautiful thing. If you can increase your prayer and your heart is full of God, then it just keeps going. It keeps increasing. And your joy becomes more full. But your joy can only be full if you also are aware of others' pain, others who are in pain, and be praying for them, be concerned about them. Today, at the end of the liturgy, I'll give the announcements as usual. And our Mighty Mites collection will be for a friend of mine, Father Cashin, who's down in College Station. He and I went to Uganda together in December. We've known each other for many years. He grew up in Malawi, and he loves Africa, wants to move to Africa and minister there. And he's aware of many people in Jinja and in Kampala in Uganda who are starving. We can still go get anything we want in the food store. We can get ice cream if we want. We can get potato chips if we want. We can get meat and cheese and eggs. They're starving. So we're going to collect for them. They've got sort of a special program that I know the people who are involved in this program. So I know these people are legitimate. And that's an important thing to say about Africa, because I get stuff from people all the time. They say, hello, sir, bless me, blah, blah, blah. And then they ask me for money. So I get 10 of them a week from strangers in Africa. And a lot of those are scams. I wouldn't recommend you, just some stranger in Africa that says, you know, we're sick, I've got orphans, blah, 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 because I can target the money to places that I know it's going to be used for food or for medicine or for other things, because I've looked these people in the eye. You know, I've eaten dinner with them. I've been in church with them. I know many of the same people that he knows, and he knows even more. And his judgment, I completely trust. So there's going to be a collection for that. We should care about that. Next week, we'll do a collection for someone who's suffering from cancer. His name is Nicholas Kirk. His bills are, of course, overwhelming to him. father of three with colon cancer. And then, of course, we have among our own. And I am careful about naming the one among our own because of fears of, you know, who in the family might find out. She's a little nervous about that. But we all know who they are. And I would challenge our parish to take care of their deductible bill for this year. We've already taken a huge chunk off of it. But we can do better because things like this matter. And when you put your work into things like this, as well as prayer, as well as observing the day, even when you're not at the liturgy, by the typical service, by praying canons or other things, by the vigil service. There's no reason why, when you're not at the church, you can't celebrate the vigil service at home. You can learn how to do it. We'll do it. We can do a Zoom meeting about that and teach you guys how to do that. And doing all that kind of work, then your joy increases. But in this world, we can't have just joy. Not in this world. In the next world, there'll be only joy. But in this world, there's also sadness. So we must be aware of those who are still suffering very greatly, very much. I'm aware of two bishops that have died, several Hyrule monks, deacons, two deacons at least, many, many other people. I don't know how many people have died so far worldwide from COVID-19. The total must be, well, if you count Red China, I'm sure the total is near a million. Of course, they lie and they say that their total is less than Italy. That's like right. If you believe that, I've got a bridge I could sell you from New York. But people are suffering. And so we have to pray for them. So increase your prayer or start your prayer. And then you'll start to feel more joy. That's the secret. Don't pursue pleasure. Don't pursue happiness. Don't pursue comfort. Pursue God. And as you pursue God, then your heart will be changed so that you will have joy like you've never known before. Christ is risen.
Truly
is risen. Christos voskresi.
Christos
voskresi. Prochris son fun cum cibla.
Some 15 years ago,